The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire ensued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with clouds of heaven. And he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, for his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 93 responsibly. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord was made the world so sure that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord, the waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure, and holiness benefits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
Glory to the Father.
And from Revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. From the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming from the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. Who is he who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. Please be seated. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, as your reign of peace has broken into this world through your Son, Jesus, may he also reign in our hearts, that we too may be your children. Amen. When I was with you 2 weeks ago, We reflected on how Jesus is reuniting the human family by crumbling the walls of religion, language, culture, race. How he bridged the gap between God and people as well by bringing an end to the sacrificial system of the temple. As I was sharing with the kids, Christ is stepping to the other side of these lines that we draw. The stranger, the sinner, the heretic, the outcast, the foreigner, Christ becomes this one, this other, and undoes our attempts to say Jesus is with us and against them. Rather, Jesus is with all. This is why Jesus picks up on this term that was common in the ancient world that we hear today from the book of Daniel. It's actually a common term, and our version gets translated human being, but has usually been translated son of man or son of humanity. Basically, just means human being. That Daniel's vision of God's reign breaking into the world is mysteriously through the human person. That this new reality of God is breaking in through this very ordinary, humble, broken, deluded, sinful humanity. Somehow this is where God chooses to reside, and where this is how God's reign on earth breaks through. So it's kind of a paradox. And Jesus picks up this term, son of man or human being. He doesn't go around telling people, I am the son of God. That's a title we confer on him as we understand his teaching. But really what he's doing is going around and identifying himself as the son of man. He's identifying with us. He's saying, I share your humanity. And if you go deeply into that, you will see another reality. A mystery that cannot be fully named, that we share the divine nature at our core. This mystery that creation is made very good, God says, is the ground of all being where God lives. This pre-existent Christ that we hear about in the Gospel of John, this word that is from the beginning, this Christ is the symbol of all reality that is being reunited under God's reign of grace. So this moment, the past is a memory. The future exists only in our imagination. So this moment is real. This is the moment where Christ is present. We are not waiting for Christ to come. Christ is here. This is the truth to which Jesus bears witness in his bodily life that now is on the line before Pilate in our reading today. He's facing the brink of his physical destruction. He speaks with the calm authority of one who no longer fears powers or pain or even death because he knows who he really is in God. Here we are at the beginning and at the end of the church year, right? The end of the church year is yet also the beginning. This is a cyclical vision of time rather than a linear one, which for Jesus is what rules his life. That this, whatever period is about to come at the end of his earthly sentence of life is not the end for him because he's caught in a vision of life that is binding all time together. As you see from the text before us, this is Reign of Christ Day or Christ the King Day. This is a day to celebrate that Christ is the beginning and the end. Christ is our source, our path, and our destiny. In case you're not familiar with the Greek alphabet, those terms alpha and omega are just the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. But they're also numbers. Prior to them using Arabic numerals, the letters of the alphabet were also numerals. And so this is a symbol, alpha, of the beginning, the start, the first, the origin. And omega is the last letter, the symbol for the end. But that means not so much the end as we think of the end of a story, but more at the purpose. The Greek word is telos. the direction, where time is going, that it's returning to the source, it was returning to the Alpha. We don't speak of this often in the Western Church because in our daily life, we are so caught up in measured time. The Greek word chronos, chronology, chronograph, chronological, that's clock time. Clocks haven't been around that long, but in the Western world, they've defined our life, right? I was checking the clock every couple of minutes to see, are we on time? Is it time to start, right? How long is this going to take? That kind of thing, right? The other vision of time in this ancient world is kairos, that is the right time, or the moment that we're waiting for, the moment that's ripe, the baby's decided to come, those kinds of images of time, which are not measured, right? You can't just schedule it, but it has its own unfolding. Chronos marks human progress. It marks our schedules, our goals, our projects, our effort. And our focus on this time is why we rely so heavily on ourselves, our actions, our work, to get us where we want to be. In this country, we tend to be a little bit obsessive-compulsive about time, I would say. No matter how many setbacks or detours we experience, we keep saying, just get your nose on the grindstone, right? Put your shoulder to the wheel. Get it done. Just do it. By the way, it's kind of a hyper-masculine way of living if you look at the rest of the world. And I think it's why, on average, guys live about 5 years less. It's like we're trying to make the clock go slower so we can catch up. And it's a strain on us. It goes against our nature. There's something else. There's another way to live that connotes freedom, that connotes life as an unfolding. A campus pastor friend of mine likes to say, you can't make flowers bloom faster by pulling on them, right? Life has its own way, its own timing. And that is the way of God reigning in this world. Not a timetable, but of its own nature, it unfolds. And so here in this vision of time, the end or the telos is not Armageddon. It's not the destruction of the world. Here, it means the purpose, the focal point toward which we are heading, completion, fullness, wholeness, consummation. This is God's future drawing us to remember who we are in God's heart as children of God. And I'd like to share with you an example from a friend of mine that I've been walking with for just over a year now. She lives in Chicago, but we stay in touch online. My friend Anjali is dealing with extreme discomfort these days. She's experiencing very advanced leukemia. And I just received an email from her last night with an update. And she won't mind me sharing her words with you because she's been very open with sharing her journey with anyone who will listen. And I think that's because she's really shining bright these days with the light of Christ. I'm not romanticizing this. She's dealing with a lot of pain. She has been through many, many treatments, many high moments and many low moments. But she describes breaking through to a deeper life, a deeper reality right now. So here are a few of Anjali's words. The therapy was not effective, and my cancer came back. I've now been admitted to the University of Chicago for further chemotherapy to bring me into remission. This therapy is very painful and invasive. I've been asked to stay in the hospital for the Thanksgiving holiday. I feel blessed as I'm surrounded by angels and saints who are walking this journey with me. You have all prayed and strengthened me for the past 5 years. I do not fear death. As a matter of fact, I welcome it. My perseverance has brought me to understand my Creator as I have been reading the life of St. Francis of Assisi. And here she shares some words from this story of Francis. Excuse me a second. Well, No. Just in case.
Oh,
you're welcome. Anyway, from the life of Francis, people are only afraid of death as long as they do not know who they are. But once you know that you are a child of God, you are already home, and your inheritance is given to you ahead of time. Then you can begin living and enjoying instead of climbing, proving, or defending. Your false self, all religions say, in one way or another, must die before you die. Only then can we sincerely say with Francis, "Welcome, Sister Death." And Angelou says, "I have faced the first death, and I lost nothing that was real. And so the second death can do me no harm." And those words come from Francis' Canticle to the Creatures. Death itself will only keep opening and opening. And I think that is exactly what we mean by resurrection. She says, "I continue to persevere and be patient. I have not lost faith and will never do so. I wish you could wear the same pair of glasses I do, because seeing from my glasses beyond my own is what I call participative seeing. This is the new self that can say excitedly with Paul, 'I live no longer, not I, but it is Christ now living in me. In the truest sense, I am that which I am seeking.' This primal communion immediately communicates a spaciousness, a joy, and a quiet contentment, because the gap between me and the world has already been overcome. Please pray the intense chemotherapy will be tolerated without much side effects. I can hear the Lord speak to me the verse from Jeremiah, 'For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.'" Thank you for listening to Angelou's words, because she has been a profound witness to me that is renewing my faith from that deeper place that is within each of us, that we know is true, that if we take a moment to pause, we can return to that place, that home within. This is how Christ comes to reign in our hearts, not by our decision or our attainment or our effort, but through our vulnerability, our weakness, as Paul says. That is what perfects God's strength. This is what Jesus of Nazareth bore witness to in his footsteps on earth, in his teaching, his healing, his feeding, his being lifted up on the cross. This is a mystery, but I hope you can see with me through this veil with Angelou, who's showing us through that window. As we draw closer to that veil, we begin to glimpse the other side a little bit. This too is why Jesus did not come to be admired as a hero. Not to reign like Pilate reigns, not to vie for his throne or Caesar's, or to be worshipped as a god, but to take our hand and walk with us into endless life. Right now, I invite you to just put your hand on your chest and close your eyes. Maybe you can feel your heart beating. Just notice that you are breathing. Don't change your breathing. You know how to breathe. Your body knows how to breathe without you thinking about it. Feel the rise and fall of your chest. See how it works without you trying or even thinking about it. God is breathing you. The wind of God is blowing through you, giving life moment by moment. Settle into that breathing for a moment. Feel life flowing freely into you. Inhaling, you receive life without trying or thinking. Exhaling, you share life without trying or thinking. Begin to realize that you are that flow of life. You depend entirely on that flow that you cannot control or manage or force. In your core, you are one with the breath of God that flows through you. You are not a thing, but a flow of life. This is what it feels like to be alive. why am I doing this new agey stuff? Right? Isn't that too simple, too ordinary? What about that good old doctrine? Yes, we have that solid theology, but it's only to return us to attend to what Jesus is pointing out all along, to remind us of the living Christ in our midst, in the midst of us, in the midst of us here. We're not waiting for the clouds to part sometime in the future. The clouds have already parted in Jesus the Christ. He transcends his earthly life of 2,000 years ago and somehow lives today by faith, breaking into our lives moment by moment. Deep down, when you pay attention, you too know this. Trust this. Trust this core of your being that Jesus has come to point out, to remind you that whether we live or whether we die, our life is caught up together in the eternal life of Christ. Anytime we forget that, we can return to the breath of God who reigns in our hearts. Václav Havel said it this way: hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well. Hope is the conviction that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. That is what Angeli has borne witness to me and renewed in my heart today, that we renew in each other when we share this journey authentically, honestly, and especially out of those vulnerable places in us. That is why the faith of the church cannot be shaken, because it does not rely on our own physical strength, but the strength of God flowing through us to each other. Whenever we get anxious or panicky, we can just rest and pay attention to that moment-by-moment gift of life pouring forth from God through us. Let that be our prayer as we celebrate the reign of Christ in the year to come. Day and every day, moment by moment, God walking with us, living in the courage and compassion of Christ. This way, the world gets a glimpse of God's good future, and the doors of God's reign swing wide open. Amen.